Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is, I guess, technically is our first Hoops HD report of the 21-22 season.
I missed the staff beat. What are we even calling this? Is this the Hoops HD report?
It's our special edition of the Hoops HD report, okay, because we normally do them on Monday evenings. We are doing this on a Wednesday evening, recording it the evening of Wednesday, November 10th, a little after 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, up here. To my side, John Tytel. Down below me, we got David Dorman back. Next to him, we got David Griggs as well. And we have a few things to go over first. And then main portion of this show tonight is going to be multi-exempt tournament madness, something like that, Griggs?
Well, multi-team event. They are no longer called exempt tournaments. They're now called multi-team events.
I'm calling them exempt tournaments. MTE. I don't care what you
say. We can still call them exempt tournaments if you want to. It's the same damn thing. It's just that, like, this is what the rules committee does, and this is what goes on at summer meetings. From what I understand, I'm not allowed to attend them anymore. I've been thrown out, but all of that work goes in, and the end result is that they change the name of something and keep everything else exactly the same.
Well, we're going to be talking about all those in-season or exempt tournaments or whatever we want to call
them. Multi-team events.
As we get in a few minutes here, we wanted to spend just a few minutes because we are in the second day of the season now, talking about what happened on opening day, which my understanding was we had a record with 184 games involving D1 teams. That was the most games involving D1 teams in a single game in NCAA history, in a single day in NCAA history. That's my understanding, at least. So
yeah,
there were a ton of games on opening day. The majority of them were not D1 teams getting plastered by D1 teams. But Tytel, let me start with you with the two key games where the Champions Classic, which we saw Duke beat Kentucky after we saw Kansas take care of Michigan State. Your thoughts on both those games?
Sure, I'll do Kansas-Michigan State first. I wasn't sure how Kansas would do with Jalen Wilson out due to the suspension, but Ochai Agbaji looked amazing, 29 points in 36 minutes, not a turnover, and good supporting cast. Remy Martin, my favorite Sun Devil transfer, comes right in and scores 15 points to help him out. Michigan State looked average, decent rebounding, but bad free throw shooting and a lot of turnovers, so plenty of work for Izzo and company to do. As far as the second game, amazing Duke-Kentucky game, back and forth. Duke looked like they were pulling away, and then Kentucky made it close at the end before Duke got it done with their fabulous freshman Trevor Keels and Paolo Banchero combining for 47 points. The three-point shooting left a lot to be desired. The whole team was 1 of 13, but they forced turnovers, they get steals, and the freshmen look like they're going to be lottery picks.
Yeah, I was very impressed by Duke and Dorman. Let me ask you this, Kentucky, you know, is there any cause for concern at all here, or did they just really run into a better team that was more ready for this game?
I'm with John. I thought the freshmen were absolutely awesome. I had heard about Banchero, but Keels was phenomenal, and he just controlled that game. When they needed a big bucket, he was there. I was pretty impressed with Kentucky. I heard they were struggling with that smaller Division II or community college test early in the week, but they looked ready. They were prepared. Calipari was upset a few times on some defensive breakdowns, but I think they'll be fine come February.
I do agree with you. Great.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, the thing about Kentucky from year to year is they never start off firing on all cylinders. They're going 100 miles an hour in March. Typically, they didn't last year, but they start out going about 40 or 50 miles an hour. They routinely struggle or lose games early in the season that you don't expect them to lose. You know, I think Greensboro almost beat them 1 year. Vermont almost beat them 1 year. And last year, Richmond did beat them. Of course, really pulled out of the tail. But we frequently, every year, it seems like every November, everyone is like, what's wrong with Kentucky? And once the semester ends and the practice restrictions go away and they can practice 8 hours a day if they want to, we typically, over the Christmas holiday, see Kentucky become Kentucky. And I have no reason to think that that's won't happen this year.
Besides those two big games, there were some notable upsets. Let's start with probably Well, the one conference that suffered three upset losses was the ACC. Dorman, Georgia Tech, the defending ACC tournament champion, loses at home to Miami, Ohio. Pitt gets plastered at home by the Citadel, one of the worst teams in D1 most years. And then the huge surprise is Virginia, a top 25 Virginia team, loses at home to Navy.
I'm going to talk about the NC State game.
Okay.
The Georgia Tech game with Miami of Ohio. I wasn't down on Miami coming into the year, but I thought they were a middling team in the pack. I watched the game closely. They had control of the game. It was going back and forth. Every time Georgia Tech made a run, though, Miami of Ohio stayed right in it and hit some big shots. Defensively, they stuck in it. They held their own on the boards. And down the stretch, I think they scored about 9 straight to end the game in the last about two and a half minutes and took Georgia Tech right off their home court, shut the crowd down, and took the game away. I was pretty impressed with Miami, Ohio, and the ACC, yes, I agree, did not look good.
ACC did not look good. I tell you, you're a Pac-12 guy. It was, well, the Pac-12 only suffered 2 losses, Cal losing to UC San Diego, Washington losing to Northern Illinois, both of which are bad losses. They also had several other teams that really struggled to find ways to win games. So it was not a good opening day for the Pac-12 either, was it?
I did not think things could get worse for Cal after losing to my Arizona Wildcats in football, the first win we've had in 20 games going back 2 years. But sadly, the basketball team lowered itself to the occasion. Trailing UCSD by double digits in the second half before losing by 13. 5 of 18 from the 3-point line. They missed 10 free throws. They only had 4 assists the whole freaking game. I mean, they're a young team.
Wow.
I don't know about pushing the panic button, but when you have an 11-point lead in the first half against UCSD, no offense, you're not supposed to lose by double digits at home.
Okay, this is UCSD, not UCSB, who's a pretty good team.
Right.
This is the other team in the city of San Diego. But Griggs, we also saw Nebraska losing at home to Western Illinois, the only Big Ten team to fall. Tonight, before we start recording this, my Rutgers team survived against Lehigh, at least. As well as Ohio State, I guess we throw that in there, needed a last-second shot to beat Akron yesterday as well.
Yeah, okay, and looking at the Big Ten games, Akron is a pretty good team. I mean, them nearly beating Ohio State, or even had they pull it off, would have been surprising, but not astounding. I think we all think Akron is good. It's not the same level of surprise, not even close, as, you know, Navy over Virginia, or even the Citadel over anyone. Yeah, Western Illinois, I know Nebraska has low expectations, but so does Western Illinois, a Summit League team that we're not expecting much out of, or at least I wasn't. I was shocked by that. I really was.
Yeah,
shocked as I was at the Citadel beating anyone, but that Western Illinois won that game.
Well, I guess the other conference I was shocked at, Dorman. I know you were here for our Under the Radar preseason preview, I believe. Or maybe you weren't. I forget.
I was there.
Okay. But both Missouri State and Northern Iowa, 2 of the 4 teams we expected to be possibly at large bid worthy in the Missouri Valley Conference, both lose. Missouri State to Southeast Missouri State, Northern Iowa to Nicholls. Yeah, the best team the best team in the Southland, but it's a very depleted Southland this year. It was a disappointing day for the Valley.
Awful. They didn't look prepared. I actually thought Southeast Missouri State became Missouri State, but apparently they didn't become Southeast Missouri State. There was no energy by either of those teams. They were flat. They weren't hitting shots. They weren't defending. And in the end, they actually both deserved to lose because they were ill-prepared to play last night.
Ill-prepared to play. And I would note that probably the most notable game coming up tomorrow on Thursday's schedule is Northern Iowa's got to go at it again, hosting Vermont, who's probably the best team in the America East. So they could be in a ton of trouble tomorrow. And
right.
It could write themselves right off of any at-large contention 2 days into the season or 3 days into the season.
Yeah. And how like crazy is that? But you're right, Chad. You hate the term must win game. It's way overused. Northern Iowa might be in a must-win game tomorrow.
On the third day of the season.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tytel, 2 other games I want to quickly mention. Xavier struggled but got the win over Niagara. But the other surprise, Houston, top 25 team, defending Final Four team, would have to go to overtime to somehow beat Hofstra, a team that I don't think we're predicting much for this year. Is it trouble in Houston or was it just a fluke?
Neither. I don't think it's trouble because they got the win against a decent team that should have made the NCAA tournament 2 years ago before it got canceled since they won their conference tournament. The amazing part is that Hofstra is playing without Jalen Ray, who's arguably the best player in CAA. Houston had a great game from Sasser with 25 points, a double-double from Kyler Edwards. So they have a bunch of juniors and seniors. I think the bench is a little thin because they lost a lot of guys to the draft and the transfer portal. But as long as they keep making 10 threes a game and getting 46 rebounds a game, I'm not too worried about Houston.
We are going to have our next Hoops HD report on Monday night, but I just very quickly want to run down some key games that are coming up this weekend. We were not much in terms of Thursday schedule, but Friday has a couple interesting ones. Griggs, we've got Pitt, West Virginia in the backyard brawl, although we saw what Pitt did, so I'm not expecting much of a game.
It's going to be the backyard mall.
We got an interesting SMU-Oregon game that could be a little bit interesting. I would keep an eye on that one, but the two big ones are San Diego State BYU at BYU, and even more importantly, potential Final Four preview in Villanova at UCLA.
Yeah, big showcase game early on, and you like the games like this early in the year, at least I do. I think it gets national interest in the sport in general earlier in the year, but it's really a high reward, low risk situation. If you win that game, suddenly you have a win on your resume that indicates that you deserve a protected seed or maybe even a one seed.
And you may have that one next to you in the top 25 polls also, but
at least right, two. Yeah. And if you lose it, oh, well, like you lost to somebody really high in the rankings, you're not really going to get dinged for it. So you kind of wonder why teams are a little bit hesitant to play those games this early. But that's a big one. UCLA Nova. UCLA kind of, you know, barely got into the NCAA tournament a year ago and then made the most of it once they were there. All that momentum is back. The expectations are high. That's going to be a fun one.
Well, if you want to talk Final Four previews, Tytel, we may have a Final Four preview also on Saturday night. The only game probably worth watching on the college basketball schedule Saturday, Texas and Gonzaga. Kind of a decent little game.
It's going to be fantastic. For those of you who didn't see Gonzaga's opener, they won handily, but it wasn't because Drew Timmy had a big game. It was the super frost Chet Holmgren.
Oh, thanks for the spoiler. I had that on the DVR.
Erase it because it's not worth it unless you want to scout the lottery pick for next year, because Holmgren was amazing. He almost had a quadruple double with the not just the points and rebounds, but the assists and blocks. He's rail thin, but he's 7'1" and he can do everything. And I think that I wasn't sure how high to believe in him, but like he's legit like an All-American already. He looked amazing.
One last game over the weekend, Dorman. On Sunday is a game that last year we don't like to think about it because it was one of the scariest moments we saw in the season, but it's Florida State at Florida on Sunday. Last year we saw Keontae Johnson go down during this game, but before that, at least, this has been a very fun series.
Great series. Florida State is currently in action playing with Penn on their home court, just started early there. So this is our first look at the Seminoles, but I'm not expecting much from the Gators this year. They were decimated by, they lost to the transfer portal. Few guys went pro, didn't make the NBA, went overseas. So I look for the Seminoles to be able to handle the Gators, but with a rivalry like this, you never know. Should be a good game. I believe it's right up one Eastern. So if the NFL games are boring, which they've been, turn on ESPN, you'll see some great college basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the game we're going to be circling Sunday. We'll be back on Monday. Notably, coming up Monday is going to be the start of the Gavitt games between the Big Ten and the Big East. The first couple of games, they'll be Illinois, Marquette, and Providence, Wisconsin, a shorthanded Illinois team. So that could be an interesting game there. But why don't we get right into the Griggs, what do we call it? Exempt tournament? We just went through this, didn't we? I forget.
What are they officially called, or what do we call them?
We call them exempt tournaments. I think
okay, that's what we're exempt tournament. They're multi-team events.
Multi-team events. Anyhow, I'm going to pull up the screen share here, and in very large format, we should see the Hoops HD website. Did it work?
Yeah, it's okay. Right there, right on the screen. I can see it right there.
Okay, if you scroll, go up there, this is what you're looking at, and you can see all. And so if you're new to the site, you can check out all the various tabs we have here, including bracketology, the JNG ratings, Conference tournaments are up here.
The exhibition tab will be going away. The
exhibition tab will be going away fairly soon. We'll probably leave it up there for a few more weeks. Our season previews will be up there at least for probably half the season, maybe longer. But right here, the in-season tournament tab is the one you want to click on. When you click on that, you are going to bring up the website that should be starting to scroll down here. This is the list of each one of these events. Now, there are different types of these events, Griggs, if I'm correct. Some of them are just round-robin events where four or five teams will get together and play multiple games against each other, correct?
They've changed the rules. That exempt tournaments or exempt events used to be you were allowed up to four games. They all had to be played within 12 days of each other, and nobody could be from the same conference. So five teams from a different conference that had a scheduling agreement to play each other within 12 days, suddenly you could say, hey, that's a multi-team, or no, I'm doing it. Exempt event. Now they don't have to have that many. They can be as few as four teams, and you still can play the 31 games.
Right. It's limited to only three games now instead of four games. But those three games count as only one game in your schedule. That's how you get out from the official rule of 29 games in a season to 31, which is anybody that is in this type of event gets 31 games.
Yeah, exactly. That is the big change, is that if you're in a multi-team event, whether you're playing two games or three, you can play 31 total.
Right. We are only going to go through events that are bracketed because as college basketball fans, we love brackets. So the ones that are round robin, we're not going to be discussing on this show. You can look them up on other sites. Like, we're just going through bracketed events, and they start Friday with the Asheville Classic. This is a new event. Western Kentucky, Minnesota, Princeton, South Carolina, Dorman. Let me start with you here.
That is a very loose use of the word classic.
Classic. Anything you're looking forward to even watching in this event?
This is, of all the events, not my tops, but I'm going to pick Western Kentucky just because I'm really down on Minnesota and South Carolina. Princeton's middle to the top-ish in the Ivy. Not really looking for much from Princeton this year. On a quick analysis, I'll take Western Kentucky down on the rest.
I like that pick.
Yeah.
I think it's almost clearly they're the only one that I think can compete for an NCAA tournament bid in their conference out of these four teams. So, but let's get to a slightly better event. Titel, let me bring you in here. This is the first of the major events here. It's an 8-team field in the Charleston Classic, where we've got the Bonnies against Boise, Clemson Temple, Marquette Ole Miss, and Elon West Virginia. While we may not have much in the first round, I think we may have some interesting games as this event moves forward.
We will. A lot of Power 5 teams and a ranked St. Bonnie's team, which is something we haven't been able to say in my lifetime, and I'm old. So this is the chance for the Bonnies to go out and prove in a neutral site against big-time conferences that they belong. And I think they can do it because they're senior-heavy. They looked great the other night in their first game when they destroyed Canisius. A little team I like to call Siena.
Siena. You're right.
It certainly won't be easy because Marquette has Shaka, West Virginia's Huggins. We'll have to get through good coaches to get there, but I will pick the Bonnies.
Yeah, Griggs, are you with him on the Bonnies?
I am. I like a lot of these teams. I like Boise as a program. I think Leon Rice does a good job there. They're a little down this year. Clemson is going to be a pesky defensive team. It'll be interesting to see how the Bonnies handle that defense, but I still think that they're better. And what I'm really looking forward to is that seventh place game between Elon and Temple.
you never count out West Virginia in one of these events. They may be beating the Bonnies in the championship game. That's, Dorman, let me go back to you for a slightly better event. The last one I asked you about, the Myrtle Beach Invitational. This is another fairly decent event here.
Davidson. Thanks for clarifying that it is in Myrtle Beach, Jess. Yes.
It could have been. So, Davidson, New Mexico State, Penn versus Utah State, Oklahoma versus East Carolina, Indiana State versus Old Dominion. Not a great event, but at least you got Oklahoma in there, I guess.
I'm with you. Oklahoma, New Mexico State in the finals. I'll even pick an upset here. I'll even take New Mexico State to beat Oklahoma in the championship game here. I like what New Mexico State brings back. Oklahoma might take a few weeks or months to get this program on Moser's program and in line and getting going on what he would like the team to look like. So, but I agree with you guys. Good championship game. Hopefully, if we could see New Mexico State and Oklahoma.
Tytel, your Penn Quakers are in this as well against a Utah State team that did not look very good in their opener. You like their chances?
Are you picking us to finish in third place, Chad?
I'm picking to maybe finish in fourth place, you know, beat Utah State, then lose two games.
I'm worried we're going to finish in ninth place. Fortunately, there's only 18, so hopefully we won't be that bad. We're hanging with Florida State as we speak. So, like, there's a chance, but we can't beat New Mexico State. We can't beat Oklahoma. So if we get a four favorable matchup, I would love fourth place.
Okay. Griggs, let me go to you for the next event here. In the St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, we have the Paradise Jam. ESPN hasn't even told us whether it's an ESPN3 or ESPN Plus stream. We'll get that clarified as we get closer. But Bradley versus Colorado State, Brown versus Creighton, Northeastern versus Duquesne, and Southern Illinois versus Colorado. The potential of that Colorado State championship game.
That would be something because, again, that is a longstanding rivalry. Probably the signature rivalry in our favorite Mythical Front Conference, the Front Range. And it's not on the schedule this year. I don't know. Is there some rule that they're not allowed to play twice or something? Like if they met in this event that they couldn't play during the regular season.
They canceled the regular season game because they're both in this event. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Colorado State looked, we were big on them coming into the year and they looked amazing last night. They blasted a pretty good Oral Roberts team. I don't think Bradley has much. Creighton is okay, but they're rebuilding. I don't know why Duquesne's in the event at all. And Southern Illinois, you kind of have to kind of watch for them. They let us down the other night. They lost at Little Rock. They're another team that I thought was going to be good, and maybe they just haven't woken up yet. But we talked about what you need to do to get an at-large bid out of the Valley. They need a strong showing in this tournament and maybe to win it. But I don't think – Colorado State just seems to be way better than everybody else here.
Yeah, I think Creighton struggled with, was it Pine Bluff last night, most of that game? So,
yeah.
Creighton, I'm not that big. I did not see anything out of Creighton that tells me that they can make the championship of this game. And they may struggle with Brown, who is maybe your third or fourth best team in the Ivy League this year. So,
yeah.
Pick up the next event here, and it's the Roman main event. And I got to ask both of our Arizona alums about this. This is the event your team is in, but let me start with Dorman. Let me start with you. Arizona starts with Wichita State, then gets the winner of Michigan UNLV, which means that, you know, Michigan will be in the finals. UNLV will be in the third place game.
I hope Arizona is not thinking about the Michigan game, because if they are, they will lose to Wichita State, because Wichita State is a solid team this year. If they are focused and bring their A game, they beat Wichita State, and we have a great game with Arizona and Michigan in the finals. Michigan, to me, is the top team of these four. I think they'll really win going away, no matter who they play. But if Arizona in the Tommy Lloyd era can start well, they can play with Michigan. They got big guys. They got guards. They are athletic, and they're going to push the ball. Michigan style will be a little different, but that could be a great game.
Tytel, you think your Wildcats have any shot here of even being Wichita?
I hope so. I'm traveling to this game with my press credentials, so I get some good bang for my buck. A couple of things. So Wichita State looked terrible last night against Jack State. They needed a 35-footer from Tyson Etienne at the buzzer to win it. So, like, they're beatable. Michigan should win this. My only concern is if you look at the start times, 12:30 in the morning and midnight for a team that is not right in the West Coast. So that's going to be, I wonder how their players are going to be playing like after midnight, because it's Pac-12 after dark. It's not Big Ten after dark. If we have things go our way, we can beat Michigan. They looked beatable tonight before pulling out the win over Buffalo, who's a good team, who's given Arizona problems in the past, but I'm still going with the Wolverines.
Yeah, a little bit of problems in the past. Probably don't want to discuss those much, but I agree with you on the Wolverines, though. But Griggs, the Empire Classic has two brackets, a visitor bracket and a host bracket. The host brackets host teams are not bracketed in the event, so the only bracketed half is the visitor bracket of Texas State versus Dixie State, followed by Eastern Washington at Cal State Northridge. Can you tell us anything about
this? Well, at Texas State had a pretty good year last year. They're kind of in reset mode. Eastern Washington was really good last year. They would have been really good this year, too, had their players come back
and coach.
But they didn't, and they're not really good. This is almost Dixie State's transitioning. They might be – they're going to be changing their name to Utah Tech any day now. This might be their last chance to win a trophy as Dixie State.
Cal State Northridge, you know, Mark Gottfried is out. Trent Johnson's your interim coach, but it's just a complete nightmare there at Northridge. It's
a bad event. Who put this together? Like I like Texas State because I just don't think they're as bad as everyone else.
I'll tell you what, Titan, let me give you something a lot better than that. One of the premier events, I think, here, the Hall of Fame tip-off, Villanova, Tennessee, Purdue, North Carolina. Ooh,
that is a good one.
All four of these games are going to be fantastic, I think. This is a bunch of top 25 teams. Carolina Young with a new coach in Hubert Davis. Villanova, veteran experience, a veteran coach in Jay Wright. Colin Gillespie looked solid last night in their opening win. Tennessee has some young freshmen who are looking good. Kennedy Chandler was great. And Purdue has a sophomore class with Jaden Ivey and Zach Edey and the senior big man, Travion Williams. A bunch of good players and coaches. I'm picking Villanova, but I would not be shocked if any of these four teams won because they're all good.
This is an amazing event.
You got a pick, Griggs?
Incredible.
What's that?
Do you have a pick? David Griggs.
Oh, who's my pick? Nova.
Nova? Dorman?
Purdue.
I'm with you.
That's a good pick. Yeah,
I'm taking Purdue to win this thing. I'm with you.
Although I do like that Villanova will have a huge test in UCLA going in, and the other three are playing directional schools before. So there's a little advantage there for Villanova, but I like Purdue.
Shout out to Villanova real quick, who is really getting out there. You know, the Big East isn't easy. They've got fixture games in the Big Five. They're playing UCLA. They're playing in this event. I forget who their Gavitt Games opponent is, but it's somebody probably really good. Nova really scheduling up this year.
Yes. We've got the Sunshine Slam. It has two different brackets here. The kind of like the top bracket, I think, is the better teams bracket for what it's worth. The bottom bracket there is the lower teams bracket. So, Taita, let me start with you on this. I guess the better bracket, you have Utah, BC, and Rhode Island, Tulsa, but I don't know what to say.
There's not much to say. These are four mediocre teams. I think that anybody can win it. I don't like Utah's chances because they have the farthest distance to travel, so I'll pick Rhodey, but they could also lose twice, so totally up in the air.
Yeah, over under on the number of those teams that even make the NIT.
Zero.
Under.
Yeah, I'm thinking zero.
Yeah. Griggs, just by the way, when you're looking at Villanova's schedule, they're also playing Syracuse. They also have a game at Baylor, so a hell of a schedule this year for Villanova.
Yeah.
Step back. But Dorman, how about the visitor bracket of Bryant, Bethune-Cookman, Air Force, and Holy Cross? You can watch them all on Flow Hoops.
Yeah, I'm going to take Bryant because they're the best of that group. Not much to say here. There's too many great games going on. And this is not one of them, but I like Bryant of the four of these teams.
You're going to want to log in to Flow Hoops early because the server might crash.
Yeah,
it's going to be.
Griggs, let me throw one at you here. This is the Legends Classic. We'll get to their host bracket because I think it's like a week later in a few minutes here. But their visitor bracket, again, their lower bracket of Howard, High Point, Georgia State, and William & Mary. Actually, a pretty good Georgia State team this year.
Georgia State, I don't think that they're like a bubble team or a team that can run at the bubble or anything, but they are hugely underserved in this event. They're essentially playing what amounts to two bye games.
They should win them.
Yeah, they should win them.
Although I would note that Howard is, I believe, the only team that is currently 2-0 on the season. They played both last night and tonight, crushed both District of Columbia and Regent University. So congrats to Howard, 2-0. That makes them a one seed in the NCAA tournament, according to David Grace.
It doesn't because those aren't D1 teams.
The Jacksonville Classic, Titel. Let me start with you on the what's called the Duval bracket, the better of the two brackets. A Loyola Marymount against Florida State and Missouri against SMU.
quick shout out, Howard, best team in DC, of course. I think the Seminoles should win this in their home
state. Howard might be the best team in DC.
Don't sleep on SMU with Kendrick Davis, arguably a top five point guard in America. But Florida State is getting tested by Penn as we speak. So I think that they will be in store for, they'll be battle tested. So I think the Seminoles will take this one.
So you're with the Seminoles to take this one. Dorman, how about this bottom bracket here? Boston U versus Northern Illinois and Little Rock versus Sam Houston. I guess it's kind of a also-rans bracket here.
Also-rans bracket of the four. I think Boston University is the best, but again, four teams that I don't look to be very high on at all this season. I don't see any NIT, CIT, CBI teams here.
Well, don't forget that Northern Illinois did beat, did win at Washington yesterday. So,
and Little Rock beat Southern Illinois. So, nice opening night for those two.
So we'll we probably won't keep an eye on that, but you can check the website after games over and see who actually won.
We're not even sure what channel it's on.
It may not even be streamed or anything. Griggs, the Gulf Coast Showcase has been one of the, in the last few years, one of the better under the radar events. I believe that the very first game of the season last year was part of the Gulf Coast Showcase, if I remember as well. But
yeah, it was.
We got Rice versus Evansville, Vermont versus Oakland, Akron versus Fordham, and App State versus Delaware in this event.
Kind of a disappointing field, really. I like Vermont and I like Delaware. I don't know. Has Fordham just downgraded to under the radar now?
Yes. Were they ever anything better than that?
I mean, I don't even, they're not under the radar. They're under the ground. Evansville might have a little say. Akron, we saw what they did the other night. I like Vermont and I like Delaware. If the bracket plays out to where all those teams hold serve, the semifinals could be interesting. The other five, App State, a tournament team last year. I'm trying to come up with ways to get really excited about this. I like three of these eight teams. I like Akron to win it all.
Delaware, I think, is going to be a decent team in the Colonial this year. But I'm with you I could make a Vermont to win this whole thing. I'm looking here. But let's go to the Nassau Championship. Not much better. And who am I up to now? I have to tell him to go back to you. I forget who I'm up to next. But not much better, though, with Toledo, Charlotte, Drexel, Tulane, Abilene Christian against Jack State, and Coastal Carolina against Valpo.
Yeah, I think I'm going to keep it in the MAC. I think Akron's going to win that one. I think Toledo's going to win this one. The great state of Ohio getting it done south of the border.
Yeah, that's probably a good call here. I don't think Abilene Christian has much this season, although they were a tournament team last year. Jacksonville State's a team I'd look out for here as the other team to that I think is decent at least. But let's keep rolling. Don't get much better with the next one either, other than it's an 18 event. Dorman, let me give you one of these, though. The Naples Invitational with Kent State, James Madison, Wright State, George Washington, East Tennessee State, Murray State, Missouri State, Long Beach State. By the way, the Naples Invitational – looking for an intern to do the play-by-play on these games.
Oh, did you?
Yes. On Twitter today. Yes. So, if you want to do play-by-play, get to Naples the November 22nd. You could do it. But Dorman,
I don't even think they're paying your transportation.
No,
the weather will be nice.
Yes.
One matchup I'm really applying. Mind's... you got it, David.
As the puppet, I am going.
One matchup I wouldn't mind seeing. I'd like to see Wright State, Missouri State in the finals. I think that's a solid matchup. I think two teams that I got right at the top of their conferences. Wright State, Missouri State. Now take Wright State to beat Missouri State in the championship. But a good matchup if that can hold serve.
That might hold serve. But Griggs, we've got to look at the possibility here of a game on Tuesday the 23rd, either in the semifinals or the consolation finals, of the Battle of the Presidents. James Madison, George Washington.
James Madison. They used to play on President's Day.
Yes, it is. It could happen. We want to see that. Get that decided for this year at least, who was the best president. Yeah. Let's finally get somewhere a little bit better here. And Griggs, let me stick with you. The Maui Invitational, one of the premier events. We've got A&M against in Las Vegas this year. Texas A&M against Wisconsin. Butler, Houston. Oregon, Chaminade. St. Mary's, Notre Dame.
I think Oregon is – well, Oregon and Houston are just in a class above everyone else. I think Texas A&M is going in the right direction. That's a really good game between two teams that are kind of trying to catapult themselves forward, that Texas A&M Whiskey game. Butler just doesn't have it this year. I think Oregon's going to absolutely clobber Chaminade. And I kind of like the Notre Dame rebuilding a little bit, but look at the prospect of a semifinal of Oregon St. Mary's and Whiskey Houston is pretty good. This event never disappoints.
I don't like those calls, actually. I like A&M to beat Wisconsin. Do I like really? Notre Dame to beat St. Mary's.
Notre Dame to beat St. Mary's?
In fact, Dorman, I think Notre Dame might be a sleeper pick to win this whole event.
I agree. Mike Bray's got some new guys bringing in. He's high on this team. I heard him talking last week. St. Mary's, always well coached. They bring back some of their top guys again. But I'm with David. I really want to see Oregon go off against Houston here in the finals. This is always one of my favorite things over Thanksgiving week before the holiday starts. I love the Lahaina Civic Center. Unfortunately, we won't be there this year. They'll be in Las Vegas, like you said, Chad. But Oregon, Houston would be tremendous.
It would be. Tytel. In Newark, we've got here's the other half of that Legends Classic event. A little bit better here. Maybe not much better, though. Virginia, who just lost to Navy against a pretty bad Georgia team. Providence against Northwestern.
Yes, had you asked any of us 24 hours ago, I think we would have said Virginia, and it's not even close. Now, it's still Virginia, but it's a lot closer. I think that Tony Bennett and Tom Crean is going to be a one-sided battle. I like Providence. They got size. They got experience. But I think Virginia can get by Providence in Newark.
Yeah, I like that pick also. Griggs, the Hall of Fame Classic, Cincinnati, Illinois, Arkansas against K-State.
Yeah, Illinois, Arkansas is going to be a really good championship game if it holds serve, and I think it will.
Should. Cincinnati it just should.
Rebuilding a little bit. K-State kind of sweating against FAMU right now. That's Florida A&M, but it looks like they're going to hold on the win. Frank Hayes still at K-State, so Arkansas should win that fairly easily. And Arkansas, Illinois, good final.
Frank Haith is not a Kansas State.
No, he's not. I'm sorry. It's
Weber.
Weber. Frank Haith is
Weber versus his Frank. Former school at Illinois, if that would go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
I don't think we're going to get that game, though. I think it's going to be Cincinnati, Kansas State in the third place game. Arkansas beating Illinois in the championship game is my call here as well. Let's see here. I got yelled at, Dorman, for giving you the all the lesser conference one. So I'm going to do since Tytel yelled at me for doing that. Tytel, how about the SoCal Challenge Sand Division with Cal Poly, Nichols, Utah Valley, and Idaho?
I did not yell at you. I commended you for hazing the new guy. First of all, I think this is
the tournament we're sending Singer to. He loves bad basketball.
I'm a believer in Nichols this year. They got off to a great start by winning at Northern Iowa yesterday, so I'm going to pick them to keep going.
Yeah, I think you're right that Nichols will win this event, although it is in, I guess it's in Cal Poly's backyard there. Dorman, I'll give you the good event here. Ohio State, Seton Hall, Cal, and Florida in the Fort Myers tip-off beach division.
I'm going to throw an upset in here. I like Seton Hall to knock off.
If you said Cal, I was going to buzz.
No. Let's see Seton Hall knock off Ohio State, and yes, Florida will be in the finals versus the Ohio State Seton Hall winner.
Okay, Griggs, you like that upset call, or you think Ohio State?
I still like Ohio State. I know they had to sweat a lot last night, but I can't get past the fact that they were a top 10 team at the end of the regular season last year and everyone's back. I just think that they're really good. I love Chris Holtman as a coach. I think they win this event.
Yeah, I might be with Dorman here on the Seton Hall, possibly able to pull that upset, maybe even set up a Florida championship, even though, you know, we're not that high, may not be as high on Florida this year. Let's see what happens here. Let's go to the Palms division of the Fort Myers tip-off here. And Griggs, let me stick with you here on the Southern Utah, Yale, Bowling Green, Milwaukee.
Southern Utah continuing to make strides. And I realize that Yale, Bowling Green, and Milwaukee isn't exactly the biggest measuring stick. Milwaukee does have a star player, but I like Southern Utah here.
Southern Utah here. I think this Bowling Green Milwaukee game could be interesting. Bowling Green, a team that I might be a contender in the MAC, and Milwaukee with a, you know, the coach's kid who passed up a chance to play at Duke to play for his father at Milwaukee, a five-star recruit. So Milwaukee's kind of a dark horse pick in the horizon. So let's keep an eye on that team. Maybe on these games, there's not even any streaming advanced yet.
Yeah, hopefully they get those on.
The Cancun Challenge has been a pretty decent event in years past, Titel. This year, the premier bracket has Stephen F. Austin, Buffalo, Illinois State, and St. Louis. So a little step down for this conference. For this event this year.
Oh, you think so, Doctor? Yes. I think that after watching Buffalo hang with the Wolverines earlier tonight, I want to pick them, especially because St. Louis has the injury problem with Javonte Perkins, but the Billikens looked amazing yesterday, destroying Central Arkansas by 35, albeit Central Arkansas and albeit in St. Louis. I'm going with the Billikens just because even with that injury and even with Buffalo looking good, they look great.
Buffalo is good. I like Buffalo.
Okay. Griggs going with Buffalo. Dorman, how about the Mayan division of this event down in Cancun? Middle Tennessee, Rider, Bucknell, and Mercer.
Four teams that are going to struggle in their own conference this year. Mercer's probably the best of these four teams. I like that. Yeah, Mercer. I'm sorry. I think Mercer's the best of these four now. He should win two games here, but these, like I said, Rider, Middle Tennessee, and Bucknell, not so great this year. Yeah, rebuild.
Mercer's one that hung with Arkansas for most of the game last night. So I like that Mercer pick here, actually. Little Middle Tennessee news today. Also, Middle Tennessee officially told the Mid-American Conference they will not be leaving Conference USA. They are staying put. Western Kentucky likely to be staying put as well. So CUSA looks like it might actually be surviving after being possibly down to three teams just a week or two ago.
Yeah, they're up to nine members. So that's all you need.
Griggs, let me give you a good one here. One of the premier events every year, the Battle for Atlantis. We have Michigan State against Loyola Chicago, Auburn, UConn, Syracuse, VCU, and Baylor, Arizona State. A great event, actually.
Yeah, and the reason I like this event, it isn't just a showcase. It's a chance for teams like Loyola Chicago to get big wins. VCU so beat up with injuries, you kind of hate that they can't enter this event at full strength. I just don't think that they're good enough to take advantage of the opportunities to catapult themselves inside the bubble. Baylor, again, the defending national champs, sort of rebuilding there. But what an important – like, I think that they don't have to win the first game, but Loyola Chicago needs to win one of these, I think, to help get themselves and to help get them inside the bubble. They can't just go over three, especially in is beating VCU enough. If that's the one that they win, do they have to win against one of these teams that looks like they're solid tournament teams?
I'll try to tell who does win this event. Cause I keep looking at this field. And I just can't figure it out.
Feel bad, Chad. They all have, there's a lot of contenders here. I mean, Dorman talked about if you don't want to watch football on Sunday, watch the other game. If you have nothing to do on Thanksgiving football wise, like these consolation semifinals are going to be amazing. Like Loyola Chicago is a great team. They're arguably like the seventh best team in this whole tournament. I think I'm going to pick Baylor, even though they lost a ton and had the bad news recently that their hotshot freshman Langston Love is gone for the year with an injury. But any of six or seven teams could win this, but I'll go with Baylor just because Scott Drew knows how to coach and he brings back enough good talent that hopefully he can keep on rolling from last March and April.
Yeah.
Chad, I want to make a point real quick here that on the team sheets, it doesn't matter if it's a consolation game, a fifth place game, a seventh place game, it's a game. Yes. The committee does not factor in what round of a multi-team event the game took place in.
Exactly. You're correct.
Yeah.
Dorman, you want to make a pick in this event here as well. I kind of like the Baylor pick just because I think they have an easier road. I think that top half of the bracket with Michigan State, Auburn, and UConn is deadly. And I'm not even counting Loyola Chicago, who is a very good team.
I will make a pick, but to your guys' point, all four of these games, all 3 days, are awesome. It doesn't matter who you get matched up with day one, day three. These games are fantastic. I can't wait for this tournament. My champion is going to come from the winner of this Auburn-UConn game. I like the winner of that to get hot. We saw Michigan State last night. That Loyola-Chicago battle in the first round is going to be a tough, interesting game. But Auburn-UConn first-round winner is my champion. I lean Auburn here.
Okay. That's my biggest problem with going to the Auburn is they may be eliminated from winning a championship on day one of this event. Because that UConn team is a pretty darn good team, too. NIT season tip-off, Griggs. Xavier against Iowa State and Memphis versus Va Tech. Who do you like to win the Xavier-Memphis championship game? Or are you going somewhere else? You go Va Tech.
Well, I still have question marks about Memphis. From a talent standpoint, they should roll Virginia Tech. But Virginia Tech isn't bad this year. It wouldn't surprise me at all, and I don't think it would surprise you either. You may not pick it. And I'm not either. I'm going Memphis over Xavier in the championship game, but it would not surprise me if they didn't even get past Va Tech.
Fair enough. Tytel, what's now called the ESPN Events Invitational. This is the old Orlando Invitational, same event. We've got Dayton versus Miami, North Texas, Kansas, Alabama, Iona, Belmont, Drake. Who do you like to win the Alabama-Kansas championship game here?
Kansas, and to be honest, it's not really that close. I was very impressed by the Jayhawks yesterday when they took care of Michigan State pretty handily without Jalen Wilson. Not sure if he'll be back for this game, but they've proven they don't need him. Miami has some great individual talent in McGusty and Isaiah Wong. Alabama looked good in last March. Don't sleep on Drake because they looked amazing last year, but I think this is Kansas's tournament to win handily, frankly.
I'm fascinated. Dorman by this Belmont Drake quarterfinal game too. Two teams I'm very high on this year, even though I know Belmont lost their opening game.
That's going to be a fantastic game, Chad. I totally agree. But the semi I'm dying to see is Alabama and Drake. And that becomes a huge game for Drake because like we've talked about the whole show, these mid-conference teams need to win these big games. It's on paper. It doesn't matter when it comes. It's part of the resume. Drake has got to pile wins if they want to be in the bubble discussion, if they don't win the Valley. Beating Alabama would be huge. Alabama-Drake in a semi would be phenomenal.
Yeah, Alabama's got to get by Rick Pitino there, Griggs.
True. Iona's plenty good.
Yeah.
When you talk about under-the-radar teams trying to play their way inside the bubble, how important is that Belmont-Drake game? Because first, it gives you a shot most likely against Alabama, but it also most likely assures you a good third-place game if they don't beat Alabama. So a lot – you want to talk about a high-stakes game, that Belmont-Drake game.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't sleep on Dayton in this event either. I think they could at least beat Miami. I don't think they can beat Kansas, but –
No.
Let's go on to the Las Vegas Invitational. Griggs, let me stick with you here. New Mexico, UAB, San Francisco, Towson. A couple of sneaky good teams maybe here in both UAB and San Francisco.
Yeah, emphasis on a couple. A couple of sneaky good teams and a couple of bad teams. I think UAB, San Francisco, I'm big on both those teams. I think that would be a great matchup if the chalk holds. Seating. So I guess there is no chalk, but if there isn't an upset, how about that?
Oh, fair enough. Tytel, the Las Vegas Classic has San Diego versus South Alabama and UIC against Hawaii. There's no TV streaming. So you want to give us like only like 20 or 30 minutes on this maximum.
Yeah. Well, as San Diego won last night by 65 points, I'll go with them.
That sounds like
who
a good
did they play?
Laverne
and Shirley. Tormund, the Wooden Legacy has been an 8-team event in the past. It's down to only 4 teams this year. But it's not that bad of a field with San Diego State and USC both in here, along with Georgetown and St. James.
That's what I want to see, Chad. San Diego State, USC in the championship. I'll lean San Diego State. That'll be a great defensive battle.
Tytel, you're going to be there cheering on Georgetown, correct?
I'll be cheering for nobody as the unbiased reporter that I am. Okay. But I'm very excited to see San Diego State. I thought they might have fallen off this year after losing a couple great seniors last year in Matt Mitchell and Jordan Shackle, but they look solid. The other night, Matt Bradley looks like he's going to be an all-conference player coming from, you guessed it, Cal. Georgetown has some pieces. I want to see the freshman, Aminu Muhammad, who's picked as the Big East Freshman of the Year. So we'll see if he's legit. St. Joe's is going to get destroyed traveling 3,000 miles to play USC, but especially with the time zone and the midnight start, they're going to get blown out.
And their roster. That may be a problem.
And their roster.
Well.
Yes. That's a big part of the problem.
Griggs, the Bahamas Championship here, Maryland, Richmond, Louisville, Mississippi State. I believe this is a new event here.
Yeah, I love this field. I really like this Richmond team. I think that they're a tournament caliber team. This is a great opportunity for them to get a semi-decent win against Maryland and then maybe a really good win in the next game. Mississippi State is a team that I'm kind of big on, probably more so than most people. I don't know if I like them as much as I like Louisville, but I still think that that's a really good game. And just the different potential matchups, it almost doesn't matter how it shakes out. The third place game and the championship game are going to be fun games.
Interesting TV for this event. The CBS Sports Network has Thursday games, but you have to go over with streaming for the championship in third place. So
So download your Flow Hoops app.
Yeah,
free. It's a free. It flows free, isn't it?
No, you got to pay for that.
No, you got to pay for. Okay.
Yeah. Dorman, the Emerald Coast Classic, the host bracket up top there: Penn State, LSU, Wake Forest, and Oregon State. Where do you want to go with that event?
Interesting four teams here. I'm going to go with
Oregon State. That's a nice way to put it.
I'm going to go with Oregon State. LSU is big, long, athletic. Wade is going to get up and down with these guys. I'm going to go with Oregon State, although their key pieces and the coach's son is gone. But I think Oregon State's probably the best team.
Yeah, Oregon State. I see them in LSU in the finals. I think go either way there. But Griggs, let me give you the visitor bracket here real quick. McNeese, St. Francis, Brooklyn, North Carolina A&T, and Samford.
Well, I was wrong. This is what we're sending Zach to. Our friend Zach on the show sometimes loves bad. I mean, he loves it. He would love this event. We're sending him to Niceville, Florida. I'll be honest, Chad, I don't even really know that much about A&T, NCA&T.
NCA&T is actually an up-and-coming program moving over out of the MEAC into the is it the Big South they're in this year. So let's go with them.
How do you find EmeraldCoastTV.com?
Type it in, Emerald Coast TV. That is the actual website.
Never heard of that. Yeah, no, they stream. It's up all year long, and I think they just got a blank screen. Can we go to it right now, Chad?
No, we can't. We're not going to. No. The tournament here actually runs its own streaming for the events that are not televised. So you go to their website. They have it's called EmeraldCoastTV.com.
I've been on that website
to watch the third place game from the host bracket as well as all four of these visitor bracket games. Yeah. If you've got to get your A&T Samford action, you can get it.
Yeah.
Not an exempt event, but coming up in December now, we've got the Sun Bowl Invitational. Bradley, Sam Houston, North Carolina Central, and UTEP. Tytel, do you have anything? I guess it's at UTEP, so we pick them. Is that where we go?
We don't. We go with Sam Houston because I like Coach Hooten. Not impressed by Bradley at all. They got blown out at South Dakota State, who's a decent team, but by double digits last night, so I'm not picking the Braves.
South Dakota State is good.
But not an exempt event. That means this event will count as two games for each of these teams. Not as
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, Bradley, we already saw earlier, they are in multiple. They are in an exempt event as well.
Okay.
back to being an exempt event, Mr. Griggs, the Diamond Head Classic. This is what we will be doing on Christmas Day. Yes. We've got Liberty, Northern Iowa, Wyoming, Stanford, BYU, South Florida, Vanderbilt, and Hawaii. Hawaii, the second time they've been mentioned, but they get to play extra games because they're on the United States. Anyhow, yeah. So they get to play two events too.
Right. Like they normally play multiple events. You can be in multiple events. It's just you can only count one exempt, or at least you can't play more than 31, but they have to just to fill their schedule out.
Why is actually allowed to play 32 because they're
yeah, they are.
So, yeah. But go ahead.
Okay. Oh boy. I'm still big on Northern Iowa. I'm really willing to believe that last night was just their one strike and they haven't really kicked it in the gear yet. And they will. I don't know if I like them as much as BYU, but if Northern Iowa is going to land inside the bubble, I think they need to beat BYU in this event.
I'm going with BYU to win this event, though. Dorman, are you with me on that?
I am with you on that. I'm really excited for this Liberty Northern Iowa game. As we've talked about all night, these games are huge for their resume. And the winner of that game has a leg up. And like we just said, they're a shot at BYU probably. And that is huge for these schools.
Yeah, Tytel, you agree as well here. I think BYU is the best team in this.
Yes, except their starting center, Richard Harward, was just announced. He collapsed on an exhibition last week on the bench. He's got a serious cardiovascular condition, so we certainly wish him well. Yes, I love Jerry Stackhouse. Why is he flying 4,300 miles to Hawaii? Oh, wait. Who wouldn't fly 4,300 miles to Hawaii on Christmas?
I'll take Hawaii. I'll take Christmas in Hawaii. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
There's one other event we got to mention here. It's not coming up until January, but Griggs, this is brand new. It got lit.
Yes! Oh, I'm so happy you included this.
Okay, it is an in-season bracketed event. Here's what the Southland Conference is doing. It's down to only 8 teams this year. It'll be back up to 9 next year when Texas A&M Commerce comes in and joins them. But
did they lose anybody else?
No, not yet. Okay. At least,
Incarnate Word is gone. They're didn't they commit to the MAC?
They're talking about it, but they've not.
Okay, left. They're talking. I'm sorry.
But right now, the Southland is 8 teams. It means there's only 14 conference games. In order to get everybody 3 more games, they are playing 2 conference tournaments this year. They are playing an in-season non-conference game tournament involving the 8 teams from the conference in January 6th, 7th, and 8th. And then they'll play the real conference tournament at the end of the season. So we got Southeastern Louisiana versus Houston Baptist, New Orleans, McNeese State, Northwestern State, Corpus Christi, Nichols, and Incarnate Word. Griggs, I like Nichols to win this conference, so I should like Nichols to win this event, right?
Yes, I'm just so happy that this is we have a conference tournament in January. I mean, when you look at the great history of Duke and Kentucky and UCLA, they never, ever won a conference tournament in the month of January.
One of these 8 teams will win a conference tournament in the month of January.
Yes.
David, is there any truth to the rumor that the winner of this tournament, they will pick 6 players, and then the winner of the tournament in March will pick 6 players, and those 12 players will combine to play in the NCAA tournament?
I don't know, but that's a great idea. If Tom Vermette's watching, the Southland commissioner and NCAA committee chairman, I don't know. How would you seat a team like that?
Not in the play-in game.
They're at least a 16 team bye team there. let's go ahead and pull this down here. That does complete all those exempt events. You want to go back and look up at the brackets again, just head right up top there on the website. But at this point, I want to run through each of you for any other final thoughts on either the events that are coming up, what we've seen the first 2 days of the season, or anything else you want to talk about. Tytel, let me start with you.
So I wanted to talk about the James Madison team, and they decided to host a little school called Carlo tonight and won by a little score of 135-40. Yes, a 95-point win. It helps when you make 17 threes and have 56 rebounds and 39 assists and 21 steals. So I'm glad they could stuff the stat sheet, but do we really need teams winning by 95 points? Come on.
The answer is no.
Okay. Dorman, how about you?
I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. These upsets are going to be the norm this year. These teams that we don't think are that good or the middle of the conferences are going to be upsetting what we feel are top ranked, top of the conference teams all season long. Some of these schools have kids that have been in college 4, 5, 6 years, while our blue bloods are mixing in freshmen and transfers, and look for these upsets to go on all year long. It's going to be the season of the upsets. It's going to be the norm.
I like it. I love a good upset. Greg, so you're on Fish the Show Off.
Yeah. I've alluded to this. I've said this before, and I'll make this point again. I think I like November more than March because, you know, we finally have games to talk about. We've been doing these podcasts and writing previews and speculating and all of that for about a month now. Now we have actual games to talk about and actual games to evaluate. The month of November, there's more games just in the short amount of time. It just seems like there's more games per day than there is at any other time in the season. You have all those exempt events. You have a lot of games with teams that normally don't play each other. You have them in unique situations like ballrooms and, well, thankfully not on boats anymore, but in some of these really crazy venues that these tournaments are played in. I just think that it's a special time of year, and something that the casual fan does not understand, and maybe even the diehard fans don't understand, is just how important and how influential the month of November is and the major, major impact it has on what happens on Selection Sunday. If you're an under-the-radar school, these games are about as important, maybe more so, than any that you play during the rest of the year, because it's your chance to play in those games that will impress the committee if you're able to win them. But I just love it. I just going through the show today, I can't wait for these games to start and these events to start. And how's Loyola Chicago going to do? How's Belmont going to do? How's Drake going to do with those opportunities? As an under the radar fan, I just love this month.
I agree with you. There are some great games. Now, I'm not with you that this is better than March. I'm sorry. March is better than November, but November is a ton of fun. I love watching all these events and all the upsets that we can see this time of year.
Well, the thing about March is that the season's almost over. In November, you have the whole season in front of you.
All right, good, David. On that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us again. We'll be back next week with our normal schedule of Monday evenings. We'll be recording a Hoops HD report, Wednesday evenings, and Under the Radar report. But on behalf of John Tytel, David Dorman, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.